Cross the Streams podcast, episode 216. And I'm here with one of our favorite guests, partners, inspirations from season five. Coach V's back. I'm going to let her reintroduce herself to the group. But, Coach, this is so awesome. I know we've been going back and forth on Instagram. I get inspired by you and ODAP all the time. But reintroduce yourself to the Cross the Streams audience. We just spent 10 minutes with our best stuff before we started recording. And this is, but we'll just go back into it and let everybody know. But welcome back.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Hello, everybody. My name is Coach V or Valencia Peterson, and I am a football coach, mostly for high school players, but I'm venturing into some youth football league stuff. But I am a preventionist, a violence preventionist, and I'm using the medium of sports to do violence prevention in all its facets: sexual assault, domestic violence, gun violence, the whole kit and caboodle. I'm using the medium of sports to help heal trauma, identify trauma, and then get an opportunity to speak into my young men's lives. So I'm gonna do that quick thing. Boom.
No, I love it. So how many times you think you've had to give your elevator who you are speech since you started this work, since you started ODAP, right? Is it just like a rewind, press play?
Yeah. But you know the cool thing about it? It's changed from the very beginning to what it is now. Because I'll tell you why. Because as a violence preventionist, I quickly, and I'm not even gonna say quickly, I learned that it's not enough to tell somebody don't be violent. I realized I needed to get to the bottom of why they were violent. And so that comes trauma. You know what I mean?
Yes,
there's been
yes.
something that happened to them to cause them to want to be violent. Whether it's something that's happening at home, something that's happened in their past that they don't even know about. So violence prevention through a trauma-informed lens is basically where I'm headed, where I'm on now, you know?
Makes me think of the phrase, hurt people hurt people.
Oh,
right?
yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, Coach, your programs now, you with ODAP, you guys, you're in Maryland, Delaware, Philly. And I really want to give you space to talk about this new venture that you were explaining to me before we started, your new
yes.
partnership, your new formula, getting
yeah,
even
yeah.
younger in the group. So please talk about that, because I think it's something that listeners have heard from me with teams of men. If I've talked about the middle school impact, having three middle school football teams this past fall, and how mm-hmm. I left there like, holy cow, this is where I need to be, both in the energy and a positive fashion, but also
yeah.
in like, oh my gosh, this is where some of this stuff is starting. But you
oh,
found
yeah.
it even younger. So go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor.
So, I mean, you all have heard about Pop Warner and all the little leagues, football leagues, and I'm sure some of you have heard some horrible stories around that too, where, you know, like recently I heard a story about, you know, a team, two little leagues teams are playing each other, and one of them loses, obviously. And the coach goes over to the team that's won, and he stumps on the trophy. Okay? He just, and so guess what? The little kids come over and stump on the trophy.
Right, right.
Okay? Now we talk about little kids here. Now, to the naked eye, it's like, what? Why would you do that? Like, what is that? But unfortunately, we're hearing little stories like that, you know, different places. You know, people, you know, they're coaching, but they smoke a weed on the sideline. I mean, we hear a little bit of everything with that. But, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, where, even though I know these leagues have protocol, you know what I mean? What about, I'm thinking in my mind, coaches need to be trained. You know, we need to help our coaches. I'm a big supporter of coaches. Okay, let me just say that. One of the things I recently did was I sent a coach and his significant other out to dinner. Just go take your person out to dinner. And I paid for it. And
really?
I paid for it because, oh yeah. Because I appreciate coaches. I really do. And I'm willing to say that maybe you just don't know any better.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I see. Everyone, this is a podcast, but I'm going to put this clip up because I know I'm going to put your facial expression there, Coach.
You know, let's assume they don't know any better. And let's
right,
just think
right.
the best part of things. But
yep.
The last thing I want is a gang led by a youth football coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Unintentionally. Okay.
Yes.
Unintentionally, a gang, a little gang led by a football coach. Okay, that can't be. Anyhow, so
no, can I co-sign that for a second? Because
co-sign.
Unfortunately, at my two oldest, I have a junior, my son's a junior, and my daughter's a freshman. And at their high school, a month ago, a shooting and a killing at the park across the street. And all, you know, we know that that's the work you do. That's the work we're trying to do, right? But
Yep.
all so many comments and commentary led itself to, well, because it was black and brown bodies involved, must have been gang violence, must have been gang affiliated. And my pushback to that was, hey, you guys recognize that some of our teams can be gangs too. You guys
Good.
recognize that some of our clubs are gangs, in the especially if we aren't intentional. And just like you mentioned, if the leaders are unaware, or I mean, even aware, because everything, I know you know this, coaches love to say culture. They love to claim we're culture builders. And that's all actual, absolutely. But culture isn't inherently positive. Culture can be toxic. Culture can be
Anything you want it
culture
to be.
perpetration, right?
Yep.
So I,
Yep.
when you said a gang led by a youth football coach, that resonates with me.
Yeah.
Because we, if we're, if we don't, just like you, I'm gonna let you keep going. If our coaches are not purposeful and aware
Intentional.
of how they're leading, they will
Indeed.
activate violence, harm, and silence.
Yes. And we're going to assume that these coaches don't want to do that. We're going to
Right.
assume that these coaches really have decided to coach because they wanted to make a difference in a child's life. You know, all those good, warm, and fuzzy feelings, you know.
Yes.
But the idea is this: what I am doing right now, which I'm so excited about, I've decided to concentrate my effort now on U10U, 10-year-olds, right? And the reason why I'm doing that, so for all of you, just to know, I'm normally with high school students. I'm normally with high school students. And this time I wanted to just work with 10-year-olds because 10-year-olds' brain states is that of just, it's everything is about experience at 10 years old. At 10 years old, you want to learn, you're interested in new things, you're more likely to be a listen, you're more likely to listen to authority in that way. I mean, there's a lot of good things about being a 10-year-old. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? We all know that can be difficult, right? But they're at that stage, you know?
Right.
So just imagine taking a 10-year-old and putting in the playbook and having the coaches reinforce your playbook of different kinds of coping skills, regulation tools, de-escalation tools. And the beautiful thing about it is this, and everybody, you must know this, it doesn't necessarily take a whole year to implant something that the brain will remember for the rest of its life. The little bit of time that I'm going to take with these kids to do what I'm going to do, it will make an indent and an impression that by the time they're 12, 13, 14, even at 10, they will remember it. So it's important that you should know that only 7% of your words really get through to a young person. That's why I believe in small dosings of
Yes.
things. Small doses
Wait,
with
you
these.
mean they're not listening to my 45-minute lecture? You
Please,
mean
you already lost.
that
You
doesn't
better have a lot of different things going on there. You better have stand up, sit down, clap two times, and that. You know,
Yep.
other than that, you're not
Yes.
doing much of anything, you
You
know.
said something that I really, really struck me when you talked about the 10-year-old brain, and you
Oh,
talked
yeah.
about they're still embracing learning and they're
Yes, very
still
much so.
interested. So it had me thinking about, you know, one of my favorite things is curiosity is a superpower. So would you say 10-year-olds are still, wait, we haven't policed curiosity out of them yet? They're still in it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, and that's the good thing. So, you know, you think of a glass and you're filling it. And whatever that experience is in that glass is what that becomes. You know what I mean? If you fill that glass halfway, that's what you got, a halfway experience, if you will. But if you fill that glass with all kinds of good things, that is what, you know, that's what's in it. And that's how we are with young people, with 10-year-olds, you know, and we could talk about the development up and up and up. But 10-year-olds, that's a good space to be in to plant stuff that eventually, you know, they'll definitely come back to, even if, you know, they don't even think about it. They'll come back. At least they'll visit it in their mind. Now, peer pressure may get in there, but it'll be something they'll visit. They will visit. They will
The
visit.
you it had me think. I was with a college football team and I asked them to start it. I said, hey, what did you pack for kindergarten through elementary school that you don't pack for your day as a college athlete anymore? Then they started that, oh, I don't have a lunchbox anymore, I don't have this anymore. And I said, no, you don't take questions with you. You don't ask questions anymore. No, I don't ask as many questions as a 44-year-old as I did when I was 19. Like I've learned that I should be quiet when I don't know. I've got a little bit, I've had less humility, like, oh, I know everything I need to know now. In that curiosity space that you're talking about, especially then, if we could imprint all the things you're talking about at that age, maybe when I'm 19, I still have that spark because it is such a, I even find in the spaces with the college athletes, although I feel like I can talk about maybe quote unquote higher level subjects, there's a lot more resistance. There's a lot more that's not, that goes up against the walls I've built around what I know. So it's a little harder. So I love the idea of where you're at. You'd said coaches reinforce this. And you were telling me about these contracts. Go into how your approach with coaches, because I know my listeners have heard me that just like you, I want to believe in coaches because I was one. I want to believe in their original intent was full of positive,
Full
I'm
of
going to
it.
help. And then the scoreboard took over and they forgot everything. But tell me the flow and the requirements you have for coaches, because I love what you do with them.
So, open door abuse awareness prevention, which is ODAP. I know you probably can't see this, but where is this thing at? Right here. Nope,
We'll
right
make it a
here.
screenshot. We'll put the whole thing up. Yes.
Anyway, open door abuse awareness prevention. In order to work with a coach and its team, we have our coaches sign a year-long contract. Now, the reason why we do that is because we want complete access to the kids for a whole year. And we may, those kids will see us for a lesson maybe 15 minutes a week. But what we're doing is we're training the coaches in trauma-informed coaching one-on-one, right? We're walking with the coaches the whole season. So what will happen is the head coach signs a contract with us. That means we have access to their field, study hall, lifting, whatever we need. And what are we doing with this access? We are visiting, we're making relationships, and we're being present. We're not doing a whole lot of talking. You're bump. What's happening, man? What's going on with you? I'm doing good, Coach V. That's good. Everything all right? Yeah. Boom. That's it. A lot of that over and over again. A lot of that. And then what we do is we have one of the assistant coaches. We'll take that coach and bring him into our 12-week program where that coach has to, through the duration of the season, mind you, he has to meet with me one time a week. During that time, I get an inside look into the team, you know, what's going on. And one of the things we do, because our 12-week course, one of the first lessons I teach my coaches is about the check-in, how significant it is. Everybody knows that, right? But the important thing is, I have to have my assistant coach not only do a check-in with the kids, but the other coaches. Because the coaches come with baggage, right or wrong.
You're so right.
And you know, I've been on so many fields, man. Like the idea of being on the field and watching the pro practice go, you know, awry. Why? And then somebody saying, Coach B, what do you think? And I'm looking at them. I say, well, did you do a check-in? It only take a few seconds. Thumbs up, thumbs down. How many players came on that field from something traumatic? And you expect them to do practice fully here? Like, get real. You know what I'm
Right.
saying?
And you
Like,
combine
that
that
don't
with
work.
I brought my ish to it as well. Like I walked out there with my whistle of power and I haven't processed any of my day or my experience. And now I bleed out all over all y'all with my
You should
trauma and
hear
my
my
anger
language
and
for
my
that.
rage.
You should hear my language for that. It's not bleeding, it's something else. But
There. Yeah, I know where you're going. I know where you're going. Yep.
hey, listen, you get off on your power trip. You feel
Yes.
me? You get off on this
Yes.
power trip. You know, you didn't had a bad day with your girl as a coach, and now you're on the field, whatever you're doing all over the kids, right? But that being said, I digress. I have my coaches start signing contracts so that when I or any of my people come on the field, take a knee. ODAP is here. And what does ODAP do? Quick check-in. 15 minutes is the most you'll ever see us talking on that field. Everything else is one-on-one, right? And then the advocate that we have, through the program of the advocate, I've been able to find out what guys are contemplating suicide. I've been able to find out what guys don't have any food at home because that advocate is doing specific things for us, watching for specific things for us because he's giving us the temperature of the team. So it's a very in-depth thing. And so when coaches approach me like, oh, we want your program with us, I'm like, okay, really? And then I'll go to a game and watch them on the sideline, whether they know it or not. unbeknownst to them. And I determined you're not ready for ODAP, my man. And so, and the truth is, I'm about quality over quantity. So I'm not the type of person, and my organization is not the type of person that, oh, we need funds, so we gotta have more, reach more people. No. I truly believe that if I stay with the same four teams for 4 years, I'll reach 1,000 people or more. Or more. Like that's how I flow. Like I'm not even trying to, oh, if I reach 1,000 people, I'll get $100,000. Nah, it ain't even like that. I know.
Repeat, tell everybody your depth versus breadth that you said before, that how
Well,
far, how deep you go.
yeah, like for me, I worked 4 years with one team. I've seen people graduate, become dads, finish college, and come back and work in ODAP. I'm so okay with that. Like, I'm going to be that person. ODAP is that organization that's going deep with the players, not wide. Like, wide for us is, oh, we reached 15 high schools this year. Okay, this next year we were 20. Nah, we were the same ones, the same coaches who are willing to learn, right? You can't teach old dogs new trick, right? You have to be people that's still ready to learn, curious to learn a different way to coach. You have to have that. So, I mean, the truth is, when my coaches leave a team, right, because of whatever circumstances they have to, ODAP continues with that coach wherever that coach goes. He takes ODAP, and the same principles that was poured in them. So even though you know that team, everybody's going to get a little ODAP. So I believe four teams will give me hundreds and thousands of kids. I'm all right with it.
The when you and I everybody I want everybody to follow, and I'll put this out on our socials too, because when you see when you guys put out clips of your work on Instagram, exact, I was going to mention this, it was in my list of questions, not even questions, like, because I always see the kids are on a knee, they're on a bench, I see you or your team and your staff, and it is the quick hits. And I want to
Quick hits.
reemphasize for coaches, because I hear
Oh my
this
gosh.
complaint or pain point. Well, Kip, we don't have time in our busy schedule. Then I'm like, guys, this is 10 minutes. This is post-practice circle up. This is exactly what you're saying. This doesn't take you having a master's degree in this and giving an academic lecture. That won't work,
No.
right? It
No.
just isn't. So
Relationship.
I go ahead.
It's about relationships. It's so about relationships and the consistency. Young people know if you fake. Okay? They really know if you're there for them or you just want something for yourself.
Yes.
I there's people on my teams that I've been with for a whole year have never talked to me until the second year. Then it's Coach V, how you doing? I'm doing well, my man. How are you? And
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. But you cannot do that unless you're going deep.
Yeah.
You can't do
If it's a
that. You can't.
one-off, yeah, you're that
And
is
they're
that's such a
waiting.
great point.
You know they're waiting for you to be the one off, right?
Yes,
They're
yes,
waiting for you.
it's a credibility check, and they're so attuned to who you are. And that's one of my complaints, but I think part of it is my setup that I need to do better in following your footsteps in terms of the requirements up front from the coach. Because so often in my presentations, the kids see the coach sneak out the back door when I start. And the
Yeah,
kids
man.
know then,
Nah.
right? They know right away, coach don't
No.
give a damn about this. This ain't
Yeah,
gonna,
if
there's no
ain't
legs
important to
on
him,
this,
talk about
right?
it. No. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. I might have told you this before, but I'm gonna tell you anyway because I want people to know this. We're the type of people, it's pouring raining. Yeah, we're on the field, we're practicing. Okay, because that's what we do with football. We practice in the rain, we play in the snow, right? So we're in the middle of practice and it's raining like crazy, and I'm doing a lesson. Now, all my guys are on the field listening. You know what I mean? Because we about to have a lesson. So what do I do? I tell them this is the lesson. And they forget it's raining when I start, right? Because I says to them, boys, what does poop and tears have in common? You know, you probably heard this story before.
It's my favorite thing from you. Keep going.
Yeah,
That's my favorite
well,
thing from you.
whatever the case may be. By the time we're talking about what poop and tears have in common, it's pouring down raining, man. But ain't nobody moving because they're trying to figure out. But you see, the coaches are on the field too. That's my point. And I'm the first one to say, Coach, what do you think? But he'd have to be there for me to do it. You see what I'm saying? And the coaches know. And move on to another time I was on the field. on the field with another with my team, and we're in the middle of practice, and my 18-year-old comes over and says to me, "Yeah, I'm turning 18. I'm going to a strip club, Coach V." Everybody on the field stops. All my boys stop. They looking like,
Yeah.
and they start crying to me out slowly but surely. It was like, what is Coach
Where
V gonna
is she gonna? Yep, that's so
what's
good.
Coach V gonna say to
Like,
that?
where are you coming with this? Yes. You had mentioned when you go ahead.
I said, okay, so I just want you to know that, you know, when you go to that
Yeah.
strip club and see what you want to see, let me explain something to you, son. That's not real life. That's not real life. Ain't a woman gonna be going around pose for you like that, all right? That's not real life. And then I turned to my coach. I turned to my coach and I say, "Coach, we talking about pornography on Monday." And coach was like, "Oh, Coach V,
Yes.
you better bet he did it though. He did
Right.
it. That's the
So
coach that signed
good.
a contract with me. We're not playing."
So in that's what I was going to ask you. In with all the different topics you touch on in the lessons you're going to
Every last one
run,
of them.
is that in the contract? Did you get pushback from admin worried about parent problems, or did you get how do you navigate those spaces?
Well, it's an interesting thing because these are all teachable moments. These are all teachable moments. And, you know, we got, oh, you know what I do? Let me tell you what I do. When I join a team, okay, I insist that I have to be at the parents' meeting. I
Gotcha.
introduce myself and I tell them, "Your son's going to learn about rape, sexual assault, and all these
Yeah.
other things. If you do not want your son in any of my meetings, please let me know. We are talking about certain things." And that's my
Yes.
disclaimer for the rest of the year. That's
Love it.
it.
Love
And
it.
from there, they know I'm touching on topics such as sexual assault, rape, consent, and anything having to do with anything around that topic. Sex, the whole nine yards. Now, they
Done.
can pull their son out if they want, but at least they know I said it. So I that's
Yeah.
part of the contract. Part of the contract. I need to meet with your parents, with you. They
Yeah.
need to know that I'm part of your playbook.
Right. I love that setup. We had
That has
a
to
I
happen.
had told a group, tell me what you think about this. I told a group of parents probably a month ago. And I said, just similar to you, I said, you are more than welcome to opt your son out of these convos with his coach and me. But I want you to know you're opting him into learning then from pornography. You're opting him into learning from the Andrew Tates of the world that are online, because that's where he will run to. If he doesn't have these conversations here, you're afraid to have them at home, and
You're
you won't
not
have them
having
here
them,
now.
honey. I can
So
tell you
he's
that
going to
now.
have
You're
them
not
on,
having
he's
them.
going to learn on TikTok and Instagram is going to be his educators. If so,
That's
feel free to
right.
opt out, but there's a flip side to that, right? There's an
You better
opportunity
bet it.
cost of that decision.
Yeah.
I interesting thing you said, and I think you've probably experienced it in so much great work. The quiet ones, I had to learn in the beginning, like, man, he's not ignoring me necessarily. He's not bored by me. Boy, he's really processing. And when he does come around to talking, that's a huge win because it's not guaranteed. You know, sometimes I've had to found like, man, that kid that's always speaking up, and this isn't universal, but the kid that's always talking, I don't know if he's even listening. He's just ready to say something. I don't know if he's even listening to me. Well,
Right.
what's been your experience with the quiet ones to begin in the beginning of your lessons?
I note them. I just note them. I just note them. I really note them. And in my noting of them, I'm intentional about small little interactions. Again, the power of how you doing? You know, the power of that was a really good play. I saw what you did. Good move. Way to stick your hands, you know, way to do that swim, you know, whatever it is, getting in there to have an opportunity to compliment them. But I note them from the very beginning. And then I find out a little bit about them from the coaches. "Hey, what's going with Tyree? Tell me a little bit about him." And then I can pull back and know what to say, what not to say. Another thing I love to do is give incentives to my players. So a lot of times I'll ask questions and I'll hold up a Wawa card or whatever and go like, "Okay, who can answer this question?" And I'm going to call on somebody. know, so I'm going to call on Tyreek today. You know, he's interested. He wants a Wawa card. Who doesn't want to eat? But it's little ways like that. You know, you have to create ways to just kind of Step, take that, you know, step, take that, like that.
Yeah, I love the
But you
idea.
can't do that if you're flying by night.
No, for sure. I
Can't
love
do
the
that,
idea
though.
of you asking the coaches about their kids. Have you had moments where they're like, oh, I don't know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Especially if they're a new coach. If they're a new coach, they don't know anything. But they don't
Right.
know because their coach, because we have to determine if they don't know because they don't, the kid doesn't feel like the coach is approachable. Now we need to
Right.
talk about that.
Right.
How
Right.
do the kids feel as far as you being approachable? That's important to ODAT. How approachable are you? You know,
Right.
how approachable? And I'll tell you something else. And this is a little bit off the topic, but it's a topic just the same. And it is off the topic, everybody. I'm doing this.
Ready.
Here's the thing. I recently, you just talking about gun violence. Let's talk about gun violence for a minute here. I recently was invited to Miami to a Black Gun Club Leadership Symposium. These are a lot of Black folks, Black girls and guns, gunpowder and glitter, you know. And up until not too long ago, all my facets of violence prevention, including gun violence, I realized was very ambiguous. Because being there at this space, in this space, where they have reached out to violence for prevention people to work alongside of them. You know, they've been knocking on the school doors. Can we do gun safety or something? We don't want to make America great. We just want to make it safe, right? Talk about it. It was an eye-opening experience for me as a
Wow.
prevention. It was an
Yeah.
eye-opening because it hit me. We say to our kids, now, Johnny, don't you go out there and have sex. But then we go, he probably will. But Johnny, if you do, you better use protection, right?
Right.
But when it comes to guns, Johnny, don't you go out there and mess with no gun. And that's it. There's
Yeah,
no
yeah.
but if you do. There is no but if you do, okay?
Right.
And
Right.
that's a problem.
You're right. You're
That's a
so right.
problem. That's a
Yeah.
problem. So coming back from this thing in Miami, I am looking at gun violence prevention in a whole different light. In a whole different light. Because the truth is, my guys are carrying guns. My football high
Yeah.
school players are carrying guns.
Right.
And a good friend of mine, you know, her son, teenager, he goes in the basement with his friends and they start passing around a gun. He gets shot.
Oh, shit.
What if one of those boys said, hold up, hold up. If we're going to play with a game, a gun, let's make sure it's on the safety.
We know how to do, yeah, we know how to operate it. Yeah.
Let's make sure the nozzle's pointed down. Let's make sure there's nothing in the chamber.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the equivalent to if you have sex, use protection.
You're right. Which is something
So.
I would absolutely, you're so right on this because I was absolutely, like, I have a whole presentation about here. Condoms, guys, we can do these things. But I would have been like, put the gun down, don't be anywhere near it.
That's
Ah, you're
it.
right.
That's all
You're
you would have
right.
said. That's not gun
That would
violence
have been it.
prevention. That's not gun
Yes.
violence prevention. And up until now, I've seen how ambiguous I've been over it. But again, I'm a football coach working with a whole bunch of high school football players who are carrying guns.
Yeah.
Because you think about it like this. Most people who play football, and this is why I do violence prevention with a violent sport. Most people who play football, they've been told to play because they're aggressive. Because they have
You can go
anger
take
issues.
yourself out to the field. That's where it can you can just unleash.
Right. But that being said, ODAP is putting in playbooks, de-escalation, regulation, thinking before you move type stuff intentionally, knowing that your boy's probably walking around with a gun. Now, the stuff that we've poured into them through ODAP, through their using the front, their cortex of their brain, right? Because we do a lot of brain talk. I haven't gotten even to that. But I believe and I know that my young men, even with a gun in their backpack, have decided not to do certain things because of the lessons they've had in ODAP.
Right.
And, but I've never been as intentional as I plan to be this year.
Yeah.
I've never been as intentional. Matter of fact, I'm taking my first gun safety class tonight.
Ooh, see, I did the same, not with your revelation. It's like I have to rethink all, but I took the class because I was like, I've been avoiding this gun thing. I need to go feel it. I need to go be in there. And I really came away like, oh, I kind of understand. I kind of understand the appeal to this, why it would be something for young men. Because
It's
you're.
crazy because there's so much money out here for gun violence prevention, but what the heck is it doing? What is
Yeah.
it doing? It's providing alternatives. That's it. That kids may or may not take.
Right.
But it
Right.
still
And I'm a guy
doesn't
that I
help.
always purport to meet them where they are. So you're meeting them where they are. Because if they have one, your violence prevention now is use it the correct way. Know how to
Yeah.
de move, remove all those things that this
Everything.
instructor taught me. And I was like, I know nothing. I really know
Yes.
nothing in this class.
And you know,
Wow.
the transparency is my, you know, and for everybody who's listening, this is a little bit, this is a traumatic statement I'm going to make. And you probably heard it if you listened to the fifth season anyway. But still, my father killed my mom with a gun. I am motherless because of a gun. I have not wanted to have anything to do with guns all my life, all my life. All my life. And the fact is that I don't mind saying, oh, gun violence prevention, but I never really did put it in my work before, to be honest with you. It's been more like sexual assault, domestic violence. But domestic violence was on the heels of a gun. And I, you know, whether he meant to do it or not, you know, I always started ODAP because I wanted to get in front of the violence and I wanted to do for young men what I wish someone had done for my father. Giving him the tools to regulate, to think twice about something, to breathe deep instead of react. These are things that prevention is the epitome of prevention. So in taking my first class to this evening, I'm a little apprehensive.
Yeah, that's
Like,
a huge step
and I
for
told
you.
the instructor, I said, listen, this is where I'm coming from. I have some serious trauma with this. But for the sake of me being able to do prevention to this fullest, I have to press through.
Wow. It's amazing. You're so right. I mean, it's such a courageous step.
It is for
Positive
me.
vibes to you for tonight. Positive
It
vibes.
is a huge
The
step
before
for
I let
me.
you go, I'm going to have a lot of two questions. First one, a lot of coaches are going to listen and go, oh my goodness, so amazing. Can we still win doing this work? Because I get that
I
same
get so
pushback.
sick. I get so
I hate
sick.
it.
Let me tell you what I get sick of in particular as a Black woman.
Yes.
I get so sick of people asking me, in the work that you're doing with football, has anybody ever told you're making the game soft?
Oh.
What? Okay, listen, this is
Yes, go
milk.
ahead.
My players will tell you they get extra motivated in aggression when I come on the field. Why? Because I give them $50 for a strip. And I'm not talking about a forced fumble either.
Right.
You better strip that ball. You understand
Yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they know if they don't do it, they're not getting no $50 from me. Why? Because I love a good strip. You feel me? That's some powerful stuff right there. You know
Yes,
what I mean? That's
right.
You know, so I'm like, what? Make the game soft. We ain't playing patty cake with football.
Right.
Put your hands on somebody, you know, bring them down. You know, so I just look at them like, what are you saying? You know what
Yeah.
I mean? I'm for one of the things that we do in ODAP with football, we do not demonize aggression. You don't want to demonize aggression.
Right.
Aggression will get you out of a fire, a building on fire. Aggression will
Yeah.
get you off the corner when you know, shots of fire. You know, there's an adrenaline that comes with aggression that's not bad.
Right.
So, you know, the deal is teaching my players and my coaches when to turn that stuff off.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
can't be
You
go
said
all the time.
regulation a couple times in this. That's what
Yeah,
came to my
a
head
lot of
immediately.
regulation. A lot of
Yeah.
regulation.
Yes, I love that. Okay, second thing, coaches listening, because I know where you're based and I know the depth. And just like you mentioned before, we don't need 1,000 programs for ODAP to be
Nah, man.
successful.
No, no,
Best
no.
ways to interact with you if they're not directly in the region. Is it the social medias? How do they,
Definitely
where are we
social
going?
media. Social
Okay.
media. Instagram, ODAAPINC. ODAP Incorporated. ODAAPINC. Now, here's the thing. What I'm doing right now with my little leagues, I'm building something that I believe will be able to be replicated all over the United States. putting in protocols, putting in accountability. That's a curse word, you know. Coaches don't like accountability.
No, only for the players, not for me. I
Oh,
get to go do what I
absolutely
want,
not. You know,
right?
it's always like that. It's like that parent that says, "Don't hit," and they come over and smack the kid. Like,
Right,
what?
right.
What? What?
The hey, do you do speaking yourself? Like just
I
go on the
do.
circuit? Because I'm
You
sure
know
people are
what?
going to hear this and go, how do I get her here?
Listen, I do speaking. I come up for air to do speaking because I'm in the
Okay.
trenches like you. You
Right.
know what I'm saying? I'm on
Right.
the field, I'm on the sidelines. And every now and then, I recently came up for air to speak at the Philadelphia Department of Health, disabilities, that whole thing. And I was blown away with the reaction and the response, from these people. You know, they did a survey and the whole thing, only thing they talked about was Coach V's presentation,
Right.
And since
Rightfully
then, I've just
so.
been getting calls after calls after calls of how they can collaborate, which I'm only one person. But at the same
Yeah.
time, I when I come up, I come up, and I don't say this in any arrogant or in the humblest way possible. When I do present, I think that the people who hear, they
Yeah.
really hear. And I think they come away with something, number one, they never thought of before. And on top of that, just a genuine presentation.
Yeah.
And
For
because I
people
am
that are
aware.
interested in being on your schedule when you do come up for air, is that on your website?
What?
Finding
What?
you? Yeah, gotcha.
You can find, I mean, a website, you could, ODAAP.org. I'm like that mom and pop's corner store in the neighborhood, man. You know what I mean? Like, come on
Right.
through,
No, I'm gonna get you an agent. I'm gonna get you an agent. We're gonna get you a
Oh,
booker,
give
a
me an
marketer.
agent,
We'll
man.
get
I love
started.
that.
Right.
But let me just stop and say, man, listen, I really appreciate what you do. I love watching you on Instagram.
Thank
I
you.
love it.
Thank you.
I'm
I
like, oh,
appreciate
that man's a, you're a kindred, man. You're a kindred, for real,
I
for real.
appreciate that. I think that's one of been
You're a
my
kindred.
the most fun parts of this endeavor is connecting with folks like you
Oh
because
my
it is
God.
refueling, right? To know and to have like I'm following your steps. I'm following the path you've laid out. And learning from all the things you've done. And it's I get goosebumps thinking about it. I got five things I wrote down here. Like, oh, we gotta change this. Coach B just fixed me. I gotta change this. I gotta do this. These sons of bees are getting a contract now, right? Because that it's so good. But thank you so much, Coach Val.
Hey, you're
Awesome.
welcome, man.